Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, we have the daily entertainment columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, John Katsalamades. He's here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Welcome to the Ahern Boutique Hotel, where luxury and warmth come together in the heart of Las Vegas.
We take pride in offering a one-of-a-kind experience for both locals and tourists.
Join us for handcrafted cocktails and an unforgettable experience.
Joel's Chop House, the perfect place to savor views of the Las Vegas Strip.
Satisfy your cravings at the Ahern Chocolate Shop.
No smoking, no resort fees, and the parking is always free. The Ahern Luxury Boutique Hotel is your home away from home.
They want us to believe we only have two options. That's just not working anymore. I've never been a follower. I'm a businessman and entrepreneur. I'm ready to forge a new path to secure our future. One that keeps Northern Nevada free, fair, and wild. A path that means freedom for all, including affordable housing.
I'm Greg Kidd, and I approve this message because I'm not from either political party. I'm for Nevada.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Chan on No Holds Barred Political Forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Chan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're delighted to welcome to the program once again John Katsalamades. He is the daily entertainment columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Pleasure to have you back, sir.
Welcome back to Las Vegas, sir.
Well, thank you. It is always great to be here. So you were up kind of late the other night with the Tropicana demolished. What was it like?
I'll tell you, as far as implosions go, if you were to rank them, this is one of the most entertaining I've seen. The drone show was great. The fireworks, I'm not a big fireworks guy. It was impressive. They did a great job of incorporating the A's logo and the classic Tropicana logo and Bally's and everybody who was involved in the project in the drone presentation. It never ceases to amaze me how powerful it is to knock down one of those towers, even in a skeletal, you know, it was done in a skeletal condition when they took them down. And so you had the one on the west side go down first, and it hit, and I thought there would be more of a lag between the two. You know, they were made out of different material, so I thought they were going to let this settle and, you know, wait several seconds or even a half a minute before, but then the other one came down pretty quickly. And it's loud, it's powerful. It's powerful for those of us who are interested in Las Vegas history and nostalgia.
Sure.
You know, I was really sitting there right before they detonated the both towers. I was sitting there facing it. Now I was on the media platform, which was just north of the Route 91 site, right? And it was a parking lot, facing the Tropicana space. So you had the two towers and the MGM Grand right in the middle, and then the other strip properties, Excalibur, New York, and Luxor on the left. That's what you're looking at. So you're looking at kind of a history of Las Vegas in that frame, right? And I was looking at it, and I wasn't even sure what I was going to write. You know, I was writing from the scene, but it was atypical environment. We had some time, you know, leading up, of course, to the actual event. And I just was looking at those towers and just remembering, you know, the first time I ever went into the Trop, I was remembering my father visiting there. He used to love to stay at the Trop. And I won a a royal flush at the bar while I was watching the Sky 5 band waiting for him to come down and meet me. I was in the lounge and I happened to win $2,000. So when my father came down, this is the Trop Lounge, he comes down and is like, he lives in Pocatello, Idaho. And he's like, I'm there at the bar and there's all this activity around me. He's like, what is going on down here? So, you know, I started remembering, I interviewed Jerry Tarkanian at the Tropicana. For the first time I ever went to the Tropicana in Las Vegas, I interviewed Jerry Tarkanian, who was in town coaching Fresno State. All those memories and all this history was coming together. It was converging at that moment. And what I'm going to remember about it was looking out just minutes before and seeing those towers in a fixed position ready to go down, you know, and that was like our last look at it. And then, you know, the implosion itself, we're in a stay seated position, stay in place orders for a half hour afterward, just to make sure everything cleared out.
Right.
They gave us a 95 masks. It was a whole thing. Yeah.
Did you ruin your suit?
I was in a jacket. I wasn't wearing a suit that night. No, I did not wear the jacket. No, I was just wearing a regular shirt and closed-toed shoes, as they required. It was not a fancy event, you know. There was a lot of debris out there. It was not although there were many dignitaries. All the A's officials were out there. The ownership group was out there. Steve Hill from LBCVA was out there. But it was pretty much a casual, you know, expect to be dirty kind of event.
And there's an irony to this because, you know, it's part of the Four Corners, busiest places on the Strip.
Main and Main.
Mm-hmm. And they have not done anything with that property really in years.
No,
and,
not
and
really.
And yet it's in this incredible location. So
you're right, Sam. It is. It's a great location if you're the A's. Good for them for figuring that out. And I love the design of the A's stadium, by the way. I think it's distinctive, really innovative, imaginative, and gorgeous. But ever since I've lived in Las Vegas, I moved here in 96, it's been put to me that the Tropicana has been in cost-cutting mode pretty much ever since then, at least. So I never really did experience the Trop in its actual golden era. They did try to, you know, remake it, you know, with the partnership with Nikki Beach and Club Nikki out of South Florida and give it kind of a Miami Beach vibe. They've tried so many different ways of kind of redefining the hotel, but in the end, it was always a place that had great nostalgia for its long history, for things like Folies Bergère, for its colorful ownership history.
Right, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, right. I think there's a great documentary about the Trop out there somehow, you know, even if it's just a single piece about the ownership history of this hotel up leading up to its implosion.
Season 4.
Oh, man. I don't know if we're going to see Mobbed Up Season 4 anytime soon. Mobbed Up Season 3 about wiped us all out.
No,
but although I love doing it, man.
That was brilliant.
Thank you.
The final one with Oscar Goodman.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard that, Mobbed Up is a great podcast.
It was something to experience. Yeah, to get Oscar down and tell his story related to his experience as a criminal defense attorney and the mob lawyer was very important. And Kerry Roper partnered with me on it. We won the Nevada Press Foundation first place for best podcast statewide just last month up in Reno, your jam. And we and Larry Meir was our tech on that show, and Jim Prather put it all together. We had a whole team. But it really came down to Oscar and I sitting down for many sessions, 14 sessions at the steakhouse, at his steakhouse named for him at the Plaza, 17 hours of content and running through and producing all that and getting extra voices and pieces, and talked to Mayor Goodman, Carolyn Goodman about Oscar as well. I don't know what else to say other than it was a lot of work when we didn't really have the time dedicated to do as much work as we did. We did this in the context of us working day to day, all of us did, including me.
I can't imagine 17 hours and trying to edit that down, because there must have been so much stuff that was left on, in quotes, the cutting room floor.
Oh, man. You know, there was no dead time. I mean, we did an hour each time, or a little bit more than that. That's why I came to 17, it was 14 sessions, well more than 17 hours. But I was aware that when we were talking, both of us kind of started to wane after about an hour. You know, it wasn't set for an hour, but it turned out to be, you know, after a while, you know, the martini glass is empty over there on his side of the table. It's like, okay, we're going to wrap here.
I got to tell you, doing any kind of talk show where wine or liquor is involved is a very dangerous place. I have managed to avoid that for 30 years.
I'll tell you, I agree with you, but in Oscar's case, it's a very dangerous place not to have the Bombay available, because we did, there were times when we didn't have it, and I'm literally running around trying to find fizzy water for me and Bombay Sapphire for Oscar, so we could, and this was not video. We were there casually.
Right.
And the first one, he said, you know, we're going to get my Bombay Sapphire. I said, well, this is just us. You know, we're on audio. It's treated like a radio show. So you don't need we don't need the prop. He goes, no, I it's not for the prop. I go, okay, this is legit. It was a really great experience.
So let me ask you this. We're coming to an election. Come January, there will not be a Goodman in the mayor's office. And, you know, if we think back, for those of our older listeners, when Dan Rather replaced Walter Cronkite, it was an impossible job because nobody was going to replace Walter Cronkite. Mm-hmm. No matter who wins the mayor's race, they're replacing the Goodmans for 25 years.
Yeah, you know, that covers almost the entire time I've lived here in Las Vegas. I remember when Oscar ran in his first term, you know, in replacing Jan Jones. And I was working at the Sun at the time. And we thought this was just a publicity stunt, let's put it that way, mostly a publicity stunt
sure.
to feed Oscar's ego, give him something that, you know, to do, to keep his name out there. And he won that first race easily over Arnie Adamson, blitzed him. And I'm like, we were all thinking, God, you know, this guy's going to be mayor for a period of time now, not just one term. The way he won, it was like there's no constituency to you know, counter him. I think that we're going to miss the identification of the Goodmans. They're very colorful figures. They're ambassadors. They're of Las Vegas. Whether you agree with anything they say or not, they are dedicated to the city. They love Las Vegas, both of them. No doubt about that. And, you know, it's funny, on the one... One day, I was over at the closing of the Mirage, and it was the same day that Oscar did one of his dinner series talks at the Plaza. Same day, morning, Mirage closes, walk the property with Lane Wynn and do all that, then go to see Oscar. And Jan Jones was at the Mirage closing and gave a speech on behalf of the property, and I think she introduced Elaine as well, or it was before Lane Wynn. And I went and I talked to Jan. I said, this is going to be a landmark day in so many ways. You know, I told her what I was doing. I said, I'm going to talk to the last three mayors of Las Vegas in a single day. You know, and I went over to the Plaza, and there was Oscar, and there was Elaine there, too. So all three of them in a single afternoon, really, in Las Vegas. That's unprecedented in my life. But we'll see what happens at the next election.
It's a generational shift, no matter who comes in. Even if it's Shelley Berkeley, mm-hmm. who has been around a long time,
yes, sir.
Obviously,
mm-hmm.
but she still does not have the same cachet that Elaine Wynn or, you know, the Goodmans have, or even Jan Jones. I shouldn't say or even,
yeah.
Jan Jones. And it's an extraordinary time for those of us that have been around a while.
Yeah, it is. It's interesting, and, you know, when you talk about Shelley, she's a Las Vegas story herself.
Yes.
The way she came through, and she's been a present. I see way far more of Shelley Berkeley while she's been running than I ever did when she was at Toro University.
Right.
You know, and she's been at the Goodman dinners and making her presence, you know, felt obviously in her campaign. It'll be an interesting period. I think what I'm interested in seeing in the next mayoral term, whoever it is if the mayor is going to be more nuts and bolts and interested in governing and that, or is going to be out there as much as the Goodmans have been. Oscar, you know, obviously very flamboyant with the showgirls and his arrival. Carolyn has been out there with the Thunder from Down Under, same thing, you know, taking on that tradition. I wonder if we're going to see the next mayor out there with Las Vegas Strip adult review performers, showgirls, or whatever. I'm wondering if that's going to continue on, because that was a very Goodman thing.
you know?
Somehow, I think not.
I would wager not, but I wouldn't put it past Shelley. I don't know. She might have something in mind, but I don't want to forecast anything other than to say that's what I'm looking forward to.
All right, so
to.
I got to tell my Shelley Berkeley story.
Okay.
So when I was working at Channel 8 in Reno, we were doing the daytime show, an 11 o'clock in the morning show. And Shelley is coming up, and she's not that well known in Northern Nevada.
Right.
She's coming up, and I know her very well because I've been reading the Review Journal and the Sun since, the 80s. Mm-hmm. And so I set up an interview with her, and we were going to do it at the Reno airport.
Okay.
And she comes in, and as always, dressed to the nines. I mean, Shelley is always a fabulous dresser.
Yeah.
And she gets to the set, and she goes, "Oh my goodness, I didn't realize this was television. I thought it was radio. If I'd have known, I would have gotten dressed up." I just started laughing. It's like, you could not be any more dressed up than you are now. She's fabulous.
In for the Reno area, that's probably, you know, she's probably looking great.
Oh, no.
I don't want to draw a dispersion.
Trust me, anywhere she was, would have looked great. But a character. Let's take a break and we'll come back. And a lot more to talk about with John Castellamedes, covers entertainment for Las Vegas Review Journal. We'll be right back.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up to date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
Story County is leading Nevada. Home of the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, Google, Tesla, Panasonic, and other world-leading companies. Story County provides thousands of tech, advanced manufacturing, and logistics careers for Nevadans. We're diversifying and driving Nevada's economy and generating millions in tax revenue and billions in economic activity across northern Nevada. Story County is leading Nevada's future.
Is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Johnny Katz, John Castellamedes. He's the daily entertainment columnist for the Las Vegas Review Journal. So you brought up the Mirage.
Yes.
This is another incredible moment for Las Vegas, for those of us that have been around a while, because it changed everything when it opened. There was the idea that it had to do $1 million a day.
Yes.
And everybody said, there's no way that that can happen. They did $1 million a day. When Steve Wynn opened the Bellagio, it was $2 million a day. No way it can happen. It happened. Mm-hmm. Wynn, $3 million a day. Can't happen. It happened. Cirque du Soleil,
yeah.
Siegfried and Roy, so many things that happened in that property. On that last day that you were there, you must have just had all kinds of emotional responses yourself to that.
Yeah, no question about it. You know, and I visited the Mirage before I moved to Las Vegas, soon after it opened. It was in 1990, the summer of 1990, I visited Las Vegas, and I went to Caesar's Palace, and I went to Mirage, among other places, Bally's as well. And but when I went to the Mirage, I posed out in front, on the street with the property in the background. It was just gorgeous. I just remember thinking how beautiful it was comparatively. And I think in my conversations, you know, I'll say that I've talked to Elaine Wynn a couple times at length about the Mirage, and then met her at the closing day when she spoke and wound up taking the property walk with her. It changed not only the architecture of what we were doing in Las Vegas, but the mindset. It was like there was a different idea about what a major hotel casino could be in Las Vegas because of the Mirage, because of the way it was set, because of what they offered. It wasn't just a hotel casino with a lot of games in it and a good steakhouse and maybe a good stage show. It blew up literally with the volcano as part of it, what could be done. And that was, it was really pretty much Steve Wynn's vision for, you know, what the next step of the Las Vegas resort was going to be. I will tell you, I was fortunate enough to see Siegfried and Roy when they performed in Las Vegas, about probably maybe a year before before the show completely ended. That experience was a real eye-opener for somebody who was relatively new to Las Vegas at the time, because I was wondering even at that time how long this show was going to be going on, because it was so stuck in its period of time. But it was a show that was definitely took itself very seriously as a piece of entertainment. And I was aware at the time, I was watching Legends. I covered the Love opening, the Beatles Love. I got to talk to Paul McCartney and met all the Apple officials and talked to Giles Martin, who did all the music, and George Martin at the same time.
His dad.
Yeah, at the 50th year anniversary when they were doing the sound, they were redoing the sound bed for the show and the studio at the Mirage. And it's just, you know, it's almost too much to really coalesce in a single thought, but the importance of the Mirage was really brought to the fore when it closed. You really realize how much of a place in our history it had. It's similar to when the Sands was imploded. You know, I think there was that thought too, that this was a serious piece of our history. I felt that way about Mirage. And walking through there with Elaine Wynn, I'm talking, I was working out of the decommissioned bar near the entrance. You know, it was shut down, but I was working out of there. And one of the PR people came up and said, "Elaine's wondering where you are." And I said, "I'm working. What's going on?" You know, and she goes, "Well, she wants to walk the property." And I go, "Okay, all right, I'll go." And I wasn't prepared to do this. And we went all the way around that hotel, all the way around the showrooms, the casino floor, the convention rooms, the villas. And when we got to the Blizz, I'll tell you this: when we got to the Blizz yogurt outlet, the little Blizz walk-in order yogurt place, there was that space, and she veered over there, and I went with her. I was going with her everywhere, and I'm like, what are we doing here? I go, are you nostalgic for Blizz, you know? And she goes, "Oh, this was the original ice cream parlor, and this is where we spent Sundays as a family when we were all working so hard and talked about the week and the day and met as a family because it was quiet and we all had Sundays." And I thought, wow, you know, of all the stuff that we saw at the Mirage and all this stuff, that was where she really, you know, got emotional. And when we left out of the North Valet, not the main entrance, out of the other, down by the 10 nightclub side. We walked out, and Joe Lupo was there, the president of Hard Rock, coming in. And we walked out, and they literally clipped the doors behind us and chained them when we left. She got in the limo and her car and left. And I turned to Joe and I said, "Oh, that is it, isn't it?" And I had to walk around the front to get it. I had Ubered in. I had to walk out to the strip to get an Uber. So, wow, you know, it's an amazing experience and an amazing property. And the Hard Rock has a lot to live up to when they come in 3 years.
We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Winnemucca Big R.
Hi, I'm John Walker. Welcome to Big R Lovelock.
Hi, I'm Rich Martin. Welcome to Fallon Big R.
My name is Braden. Welcome to Big R Fernley.
Hi, I'm Kelly. Welcome to Big R Sparks.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year. and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Fantastic cocktails and delicious food. It's a good time to eat. Over 500 hot slots plus electronic table games.
It's a good time to play.
Player rewards and big time jackpots.
It's a good time to win.
Ooh, your good time's a tamarack.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers with John Castellamedes from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. There was one name we didn't mention when we were talking about the Mirage, Danny Gans.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Gans, I'll say this about Danny. He was very Vegas of his time, very Las Vegas affiliate.
Nowhere else.
Exactly. That was his legacy. Good, whatever, however it worked out, he was a Las Vegas phenomenon. And if you went across the country, people didn't know who Danny Gans was until they flew into Las Vegas. But he was the master impressionist, very focused, very well rehearsed, knew who he was on stage, and was the best in that category for his entire run in Las Vegas. He was the gold standard.
An incredible entertainer and an incredible person in real life.
Yeah, he was a powerful personality. And I love that he had a live band. And the last time I saw Danny was at the Wynn. His last venue was the best show he'd done. He was so comfortable. And he did a stretch as Jeff Foxworthy, of all things, during that show that just laid me out. So funny. And he knew it. He knew he was on that night. And I really, I would love to have seen what would have happened to him as we go forward in today's Las Vegas entertainment culture, but gold standard entertainer, no question about it.
John, thanks for being here as always.
Thanks for having
friend.
Me.
Always a pleasure. Yeah. We'll be right back.
Before you vote, you should have all the facts. But there's one problem. Sam Brown's hiding the truth. He doesn't want you to know he spent a decade working to ban abortion. Doesn't talk about running for office in Texas, supporting one of the harshest abortion bans in the country, and hides the fact that he ran a group trying to ban abortion in Nevada. The truth?
On issues of life, it is a non-negotiable for me.
He's an extremist, and he's wrong for Nevada. Win Senate is responsible for the content of this ad.
Save money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas? Plan your trip now by going to rtcwashoe.com.
Thanks for watching Nevada Newsmakers coming to you from Las Vegas. Our thanks to the Ahern Hotel for accommodating us. We'll see you on the next broadcast.